Hello, and welcome to another episode of Making Sense of Social Media. My name is Lori Claussen. I'm your marketing mentor. Today, we get to talk to a brilliant individual. His name is Jarrett. I can't wait for you to meet him. I was just reading his bio, and I'm like bouncing out of my chair, excited to speak with him. Jarrett is a brilliant strategist. And among other things, he is also an Emmy-nominated producer and director who has created and sold series to Hulu, Amazon, and the CW. As someone who loves pop culture, television, good movies, good shows, I can't wait to talk to him. But of course, we are here for you, the small business owner, in helping guide and direct you when it comes to strategies and tactics on how to use social for the success of your business. So I really look forward to hearing what Jarrett has to say, bringing all these things together to make sense of social media for you. Hi, Jarrett. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to those watching and listening today?
Thanks, Lori. My name's Jarrett. I began my career as a TV producer and director, and I got into entertainment marketing when those opportunities started coming my way. I started developing content-heavy interactive experiences for TV, social campaigns for TV and film properties to keep fans engaged with the world of the show, between seasons, between episodes, that kind of thing. Developed something like 100 projects over the course of the years. We were nominated for an Emmy Award for our work in digital strategy. And I've only been learning and revising my approach ever since. That's where a lot of my insights and philosophies come from that I've started to apply to the world of small and mid-sized businesses.
That is so fascinating. I can only imagine. And of course, it's a little bit of fangirling over here because, you're in that world of pop culture and television and movies and what have you. But I can imagine just the premise of building community and connection is it just doesn't matter if you're like Brad Pitt or the local dog walker. Like you it has to it you have to translate who you are and what you do really effectively through social media, and just learning how to do that well feels like a chore, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
No, I mean, to me, it's sort of the opposite. It's really gratifying to connect with people around something that they're passionate about. People get really excited. And the MO of SuperServe. So the company that my company is now SuperServe. It's a boutique agency. We specialize in audience and community development and engagement and retention and sometimes monetization around audience strategies. I guess most people don't work in entertainment and don't have access to talent and creators and the inside scoop on TV shows. And so in my experience, it really what fans and followers want and are excited about is access and status. It really comes down to those two things. And being able to give people access and to some degree status within a social community is very exciting for them. And so that sort of led to my whole philosophy of really being about surprise and delight and delighting fans, surprising them. SuperServe's whole MO is about treating fans better than they would ever expect, making them feel seen and heard and appreciated and valued, valuable members of the community, making them feel like privileged insiders. And for small and medium-sized businesses as well, those things go a long way towards bonding your followers to you, like creating loyalty.
Oh, if I may interject, because I have an example. I am a humongous fan of a local small business owner, female owned. I buy all of my skincare from her, and I have from day one. And just recently, she just randomly sent me a package of some of her products just to say thank you. And when I tell you, I felt like a celebrity or some big influencer, like it meant the world to me. And so, like anybody can do that. It's so
Anybody.
true, hey?
It's amazing how many people don't look beyond using their socials as a one-way megaphone for blasting promotional messages. And It's a mistake. It's the wrong way to use socials. They're such a great conduit for making two-way conversation happen. And yes, that takes more effort, of course, to have a two-way conversation with somebody as opposed to just putting up your post and then moving on with your day. It's a bit next level, but it doesn't have to be major. But making your followers or your customers or your clients feel valued and feel appreciated really takes just a little bit of thoughtfulness and a little bit of action to do. And like you say, like it makes you feel incredible. Like to me, that my philosophy is that we're all about turning fans into evangelists, right? I want people to be excited about the brand and talking about it with their friends. You can't believe what they did for like just exactly what you just did, right? And that is the name of the game, right? You want to differentiate yourself. You want to create loyalty amongst your customers. Yes, you have a great product or services, a service, but there's a lot of that out there. So how are you going to differentiate yourself? And it's really easy to do if you are just a bit thoughtful about, that sort of action. You're not going to some other person to go buy your skincare now.
Never. I'm for life.
Right.
I'm like, even when I'm 92, I'll be buying her retinol and the
Okay.
vitamin C and all the things, hoping
Yeah.
it'll do something.
It's
By
a really,
92, I don't think I'll care that much anymore.
you never know. My
You never
92,
know.
your needs may be different, and she may have something for you,
That's true,
and you'll go to her
Alexandria.
first to try and
Oh,
find that.
100%,
Right.
100%.
And so that, that kind of loyalty and retention is really important across the board. Any business, any service needs to have that because you go to so much trouble to onboard a new client or customer. It's much easier to hang on to them to onboard than to onboard a new client or customer.
I
So
like
there's.
how you emphasize that it needs to be thoughtful because it goes so much beyond just putting a post on Instagram saying, I want to thank my, everybody for re reading and, watching my posts. And I'm guilty of doing that myself. So I'm saying this to myself just as much as anybody, that I need to be more intentional with how thoughtful and grateful I am to my audience. So,
It's true. And look, I think most problems can be solved with taking 5 minutes to actually think about it or 10 minutes to do some research and then, put a plan in place. It doesn't have to take long, but you just need to dedicate a little bit of time towards, okay, now I'm going to figure out this piece of my strategy. How am I going to do this? And, if delighting your customers is what your goal is on this part of your marketing, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be extravagant. Sometimes,
It just
certainly on the entertainment side, but sometimes just putting a spotlight on them, shouting somebody out is enough to make their day.
Yeah.
It depends on who you are and what your relationship is with your clients and how they view you and what you can do to make them feel special.
Right. And if you know them well enough, which as marketers we should, we likely know what it is that makes them feel special because we are aware of what pains them, what irks them, what keeps them up at night, right? So,
And it just, yeah, it comes down to sort of a human understanding of people and trying to relate to your customers from a human perspective, which, no doubt you do when you're, interfacing with them as a customer. But for some reason, when it's intermediated through social media, it's kind of like I'm just sending things out into the ether now, as opposed to I'm targeting my clients and my customers, who are the people I'm concerned about seeing this post or getting this piece of information or being entertained by the thing I'm posting.
Oh, this is just so great, Jarrett. So let's go down the pathway of strategy. Like, what would you consider a good, let me backtrack a little bit. For the small business owner who is a self-employed solopreneur, they just are looking for step by step, how do I get from starting or starting over to having built a community of evangelists? Is that what you call them? Evangelists? I think so.
Evangelists. That's right.
Fan-vangelists.
Yeah,
There's a
for sure.
Loryism for you.
Well, there's this whole concept of fan labor, which is fans sort of doing your marketing for you. And that's sort of what
Oh.
evangelism is all about. And really, you see it much more in entertainment because people are excited. They want to
Right.
show, oh, there's this great show. The socials are so great. They treat me so well. You should check it out. That is, first of all, it's the most authentic kind of marketing you could ever get, that sort of word of mouth from a trusted person. But getting fans excited, getting followers or customers excited enough to want to share you because you're a great thing, you're a great service, or you're a great product. That's sort of the brass ring, and like I said, it doesn't take much to do, beyond having great, great quality product or service. So to answer your question, strategically, how do you go from zero to, to as far as you want to take it? My process is I do an audit of a client's socials. And if they're just starting at zero, then I might do an audit of competitor socials just to see what people are doing. I do a deep dive with that client or customer on that sort of that client on their brand, what it's all about, what their hooks are, what their story is. I want to know how they view it and how their audience views it, might view it, see if there's a discrepancy there. And then I get into sort of audience demographics. Who's your customer? Let's find out about them. We build personas around them, which sounds complicated, but isn't all that complicated. But it's really useful in determining what you're going to put out content-wise on your socials. What's my strategy for content? So I've always relied on personas. I like constructing them. ChatGPT can be helpful. There's a plugin called Yabble that's really good, and we'll do surveys, virtual surveys with your personas to find out what's important to them and drill down into the demographics, which I find really helpful. Sometimes it's just not practical to try and set up an actual market group, or you can find a lot of research online about demographics. Deloitte puts out demographic reports all the time.
Oh, that's right. They do too. I've used them as well or looked
Yeah, and
at them as well.
they can have some great insight in them. And then of course you can get up all to into the paid services for that kind of information. But for most solopreneurs, it's hard and expensive to do that. So there are other ways to do it, but I think it's a valuable step. And then I will break down a brand into its topics and touch points. So everything that a brand relates to. So to give you an example, I'm working with a kid's hygiene brand. It's like a hygiene toy out of LA, and I came up with 50 sort of topics and touch points that related to the brand, all the way from parenting hacks, hygiene tips, animal, pet tips, all the things that sort of relate to that world that I can be creating posts around that are going to be relevant and hopefully valuable to the followers I'm trying to attract or the followers I've already got. Because your social posts really should either entertain or educate or provide value in some way. So yeah, and it's about having a balance. What's your social voice? What's the cadence that we're going to be putting these posts out at?
Being
But
authentic in that regard is so important. I find people just try too hard. And
yeah.
it's just like, no, like be yourself. I personally, I'm a big goofball and I will be funny and silly. And I stopped caring because that's how people know me now, is that I'm the class clown and that's okay. And I
And that's
still
your brand,
provide
and it
the,
works for you.
yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing. Every brand is different. Every entrepreneur is different. The vibe of your business is going to be totally different from someone else's. And you're exactly right. The authenticity of that is going to be something that will draw people to you. I like this person. I like their vibe. So much of this is just about connecting on a human level. And I think that's missed a lot of the time. It's about the triggers that get people excited, that make them feel warmly towards you. When they're appreciated, they feel spectacular. So it's just about a basic understanding of people and psychology and motivation, inspiration. Again, it all comes down to what's your brand, who are we trying to attract, what's going to be meaningful to them.
What do you say to the small business owner, Jarrett, who loves all this information, is like, yes, I'm on board, and then they like imposter syndrome just sets in, or like fear of being on video, or they just don't believe in themselves enough to that they're delivering value, even though it's obviously there. Like, how do we, as marketers, and knowing that it's possible, how do we help them?
To me, it goes
Or do
back to,
we?
why'd you launch your business? You have something that you believe in there, your product or your services, right? Whatever that is, that's where you draw your strength from. Yeah, imposter syndrome is real and it's hard to combat, especially when you're building. You need wins, I think, to combat that, really, truly sort of beat it down. So you, until then, you need to draw strength from somewhere. And drawing strength from your belief in your product or service really, to me, is the most authentic place to draw that strength from. Because there's no, unless you're completely misguided, then, and your best indicator of that is, do I have sales and do I have happy customers? Then, yeah, then I think you need to draw that strength from somewhere, and drawing it from your belief in what you do is the truest place to draw that from.
That's so true. And again, I've struggled with this myself over the years. I've been in business for self for over 13 years already, and not a year has passed where there hasn't been a moment of, oh, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Like, how do I keep moving forward? But I do, because I love it and I love the connection. That's why I started in social in the first place, is I loved connecting with people from all over the world. And here I am now. I have the absolute privilege and delight of getting to interview and talk with all these people, just like yourself. So it's such a full circle moment for me. And I'm just so thrilled that I'm finding these amazing people like you to bring so much value to small business owners.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, me too.
I think that we all go through that kind of self-doubt, and it's really amplified when you're trying to do something like launch a business on your own. You need that validation. And there are ways to get that early market validation without, even before you launch. But even then, until you've got sort of a thriving business or even just a sustainable business, you're going to go through all those moments of self-doubt. I've definitely, I've launched three agencies over the years. And sometimes that roller coaster is daily. Sometimes you're riding a high, you get a great phone call, the deal goes through, and then the next phone call is a crushing piece of news, and you're in despair, and it's just a roller coaster.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
you have to have the conviction of your beliefs to continue on. Or you fold up shop and go get a job somewhere else,
Yeah, exactly. Go work at a gas station, which,
Yeah.
if I'm being honest, that is something I had to do once upon a time.
I did it. I did it.
I learned a lot from working at a gas station, really, like customer service. That was a really great learning experience for me.
Yeah, I was in my late teens when I did it, and it was less of a learning experience and more of a an easy job than with a boss that didn't really wasn't even on site, so it was a good gig.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we were talking a little bit before we started recording about conversions, and that it's not really the job of social media marketing anymore, 2024 and beyond, and things change constantly. So, I mean, what I'm saying right now might be outdated in a year from now, but how do we as small business owners get those conversions of sales,
Well,
in your opinion?
I mean, there's a lot of, so just to back up, social media used to be a great conversion funnel. 2007 to 2012 was the golden era of organic reach on social platforms. There was, the broad visibility was prioritized by the platforms. You got a lot of visibility. There was not a lot of competition from other businesses. It didn't require heavy investment in advertising. 2013 to 2015, things changed. The social platforms changed their matured their business models matured, and they changed their algorithms to favor personal content over business content, intentionally to get businesses to start paying for that exposure. You know, reach is a throttled metric, oftentimes on the social platforms, and the design is to get you to pay to get that reach that you used to enjoy for free. So, you know, and I think we've all sort of felt that. I don't know how many people have sort of actually sort of put that into concrete terms for themselves. I think a lot of business owners are frustrated by social and think, you know, I'm doing all the same stuff I used to do, and I used to get such great conversion off my social, and now I don't, and I'm not sure why. And it's sort of because of this change. So it becomes expensive to do what you used to get for free. So for me, social media is still a very important part of the mix, a critical part of the mix for your branding, but it's really what's changed is how it's supposed to function for you. And now it's about visibility into your business, giving you an opportunity to show your authenticity, the ethos of your brand, what you're all about. And I think even on a step up from that, it's really there to show that you have your game together, that you are a functioning business, that you've got current socials that are consistent, that when people are coming to validate you on your, you know, for millennial on down, the first place they're going when they want to validate you as a prospective, you know, business they want to do business with is your socials. And if your last post is from 2022 and, you know, and your socials are out of date, you're out of date. It's a quite a poor reflection on you. So just having them be consistent and current and professional sort of quality, which again doesn't take much, is often enough for most small business owners, medium-sized business owners, to just have a great presence. So you look current, and the content you're putting out is valuable of some kind. You know, when the platforms changed, all kinds of alternative funnels rose. Content marketing was one of them. Influencers was another one. There's other places to go that serve as funnels, as the funnel that social media used to be. But I think that for a lot of people, you need to realize that your socials aren't a place you should be relying on for that sort of conversion that you used to enjoy, and to treat them differently. They're still important. Treat them differently, use them differently. You know, we have a program that we've just developed called Community Compass. And the idea is we elevate your socials by letting you, by facilitating a partnership with a community group, a women's shelter, a food bank, an animal shelter, whatever the group is, a charity, an organization. And the idea is that, you know, one of your content streams basically becomes dedicated to the Community Compass activity. And the idea is that you and the people behind your brand, your business, align yourself with one of these partners that's important to you and meaningful to you. And you throw the weight of your volunteerism and some of your social media behind their cause. And in doing so, you elevate their mission by putting a spotlight on it in your socials to your audience. You show people who are coming to your socials what your brand stands for and that you stand behind, you know, contributing to the community. And you wind up with a content stream for your social media that is a little bit different than, you know, your promotional posts or your comedy posts, whatever it is. So it's a content stream that it's using your socials for social good. And it's meaningful to you, the business owner. Hopefully it's meaningful to your customers, that they see what kind of person you are and what kind of business you run and your staff and all of that. And it really helps, you know, give some extra push to the organization you're aligning yourself with. And that's,
That is, it's so cool, Jarrett. Wow.
but that's a simple example of just being a little bit thoughtful and doing something that doesn't cost you any extra. There's no extra, you know, you're not putting money. It's really a time thing, but it does so much to market you in a way that isn't really marketing. You can tell me if you think that's marketing, but to me, that's really just putting your money where your mouth is as
Yes.
an ethical person living in a community that wants to be re socially responsible.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a valuable way to, first of all, satisfy a need on your socials, but it does so much more. And it's just putting a little bit of time and thought into how I can create something that's win-win all the way around without breaking the bank.
Yeah. No, I love that. And in fact, that's the next level of tool that I provide to my coaching clients in terms of it's a content planner spreadsheet thing that I built. And one of the pillars is community. So it's the exact same thing, just yours is up leveled quite a bit. And I'm really going to explore that a bit more because I just think that's so important and really, really cool. Wow, I love it.
Really simple.
So, next question I have for you is, by the way, this is awesome. Like, I'm just enjoying this so much.
Oh, good. Thank you.
How, in your experience, expertise, opinion, do you leverage the power of storytelling and emotion in your social media content?
So it's a great question. I mean, storytelling is everything. I come from TV, so I'm always focused on story. And whether that's, a post or a series of posts or individual pieces of content, stories really, it's a part of everything we do. And I always want to appeal to people's innate sense of curiosity and emotion, and especially humanity. Humanity is sort of the core of everything we do. We really like to connect with people on a human level and get to know people, on behalf of your brand and bring them into the tent. So, story to me is an essential element of the content side of what we do, but it really comes down to that analysis of the brand and what its sensibilities are and the target customer or audience that we're trying to attract or retain or engage. So it all comes out of what the story of of the customer is, what of the brand is. And then from there, we can extrapolate all kinds of things. Like I said, we hit 50 touch points off that kids' hygiene brand. There's so many ways to go and so many angles to take when you're trying to craft this piece of it. And the good news is that once you sort of, it doesn't take long to define it. And once you define it, you have content for years,
Exactly.
And that's the way I like to work. I like to sort of establish the content strategy, the engagement strategy, figure out what the posts are going to be, and then put it all into one of those spreadsheets that you were mentioning
Yeah.
and build it out, a couple months, a month, 6 months, whatever the plan is that we're going to do. And then it's all done and you don't have to think about it. And it's something that you can do for yourself. If you're just going to do this all on your own, you can take a day and do this sort of thought process. And then come up with your posts, and ChatGPT can help you with that, frankly,
Yeah.
and some of the other AI out there.
I'm fond of Gemini. That's been my new favorite.
Yeah, I haven't used it yet, but I'm hearing
I
about
like
it.
it. Yeah.
And I'm very into the text to image or text to video AIs also.
I've tried those too, and I don't know if I'm just not imaginative enough, but I just keep going back to, give me a dog in a field of that looks like Van Gogh, and that's kind of where I stop.
There's a bunch of articles out there about how to prompt and tailor the prompt to
Yes.
get the result you want. And if you want it to feel like this kind of art, if you want to take it to Van Gogh, great. But if you want to make it feel like photoreal, there's you can get into descriptions of the lenses and
Oh.
you can really get into, and it varies by AI platform, but what those inputs are. But yeah, there's a lot you can do too. I've discovered that ChatGPT has its own version that will do visual renderings based off text. And really all it's good for is it's limited to sort of digital looking art. You're trying to
Oh,
make it be
okay.
photoreal and just can't do it. So
Yeah.
they do have their limitations. But I mean, some of the stuff that comes out of them is just incredible. But
Yeah, I
sorry,
agree.
I derailed the answer.
No, that's okay. I can't even remember what I asked anymore.
You're talking about leveraging storytelling and emotion. And
Yes, right.
On the emotion front, like I keep coming back to, Superserve's whole MO is about surprise and delight and treating fans and followers better than they would ever expect. So the emotion for me is, happiness, excitement, gratitude. If I can engender those kinds of emotions in the people following, a client's brand, that to me is, I mean, that's what I'm in it for, is getting people to feel a certain way. And if that's a positive emotion, is so gratifying for me, that if I can engender that kind of emotion in a customer for a client, that customer is like, it's back to your skincare thing. That customer is bonded to that client, and that's the win that I look for. So the emotions that I try to bring out typically are gratitude, excitement, happiness, being appreciated, people feeling valued and appreciated, because those are all really positive sentiments that create that bond that I'm looking for.
So would you say, again, your opinion, is FOMO outdated? Because I remember when that used to be the big driver, like tell people, give them that fear of missing out, and they're, if they don't
I just
act now, they're losing out.
look, I think it's got its place. I just remember, like, I was in the Web3 space, and the blockchain space when NFTs were sort of the thing. It touched on a startup that I had at the time that made sense, so we were exploring that space, and so much of it was driven by FOMO that I don't know. FOMO, it's almost like a negative emotion,
It
and I
is
don't think
very
it's
negative.
sustainable. It's just not a sustainable emotion that I want to put in anybody around any brand for any period of time. Maybe there's FOMO around this thing happening, or to incent you to respond with a comment or something like that. But I don't really ever want to lean on FOMO. Look, I think it's real. I think it actually has drives results, or can drive results. But I think it's, I don't like it as a technique, because it's the wrong kind of emotion for what I try and do, which is I'm looking to build longer term relationships with fans and followers. And you can't do that on FOMO.
No, but you can with positivity, which is what I can see that you're all about. So that is wonderful. I love that. Well, Jarrett, we've talked and touched on a lot of topics today. I'm so grateful for your insight. Why don't you share with those watching and listening where they can find you and connect with you online?
My website is superserve.me, just as it sounds. And there's ways to get in touch there. We love
Perfect.
to chat. We don't charge to chat, so we're happy to talk strategy with you, and share what we can, because rising tide lifts all boats, and we're big believers in that approach. So yeah, get in touch. We don't bite.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lori.
Wasn't that an amazing episode? I loved it so much. Social media marketing and the whole digital space has changed over the years. So when you're looking for your own marketing coach, please consider my 6-week group coaching program called Your Marketing Mentor. There's information in the description below. The next onboarding of my 6-week group coaching is in May, early May of 2024, and I would love to welcome you at that time. If group coaching is not something that you're comfortable with, I also do one-on-one marketing and social media coaching as well. So go ahead and check that out. Thanks again for watching. I'll see you next time.